We're studying demons. We talked yesterday and the day before about how they are affiliated with idolatry. It is said in that they act in all our idolatry. Now, there's only a handful of verses in the Old Testament that have anything to do with demons. And I want to look at those first before we go on farther, okay? So let's go to Leviticus 16. Now, Leviticus 16 is the whole idea about what goes on the Day of Atonement and the idea of sending out a goat to satisfy Azazel. And so Azazel is, in this context, supposedly a demon. Okay? And let's start in verse. Remember they had twin goats? They killed one in this temple, and that was for the sins of the people. Then they took the other goat that was exactly the same, and they sent him by a fit man out into a land not inhabited. So let's look at that. And that's the same thing. As they were doing that, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." And remember, there's no word for goat or lamb distinction. So the word in Greek could be the Greek or lamb or goat. And so to make this circular, the priest was, I mean, John the Baptist was saying, "Behold the goat of God that taketh away the sin of the world." A male lamb is never a sin offering. So, all right. So let's start in verse 20. "And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions and their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go into the wilderness, and he shall let the goat go. He shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation and put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there." And it goes on about his washing. But somehow they're saying that... Yes, we are, because it's on. Well, it's going anyway. It's battery operated, too. All right. So this Azazel, he takes away, let's read it one more time. And it says, "And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities into a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness." So somehow, remember, this goat's name was Azazel, or just it was to satisfy Azazel. Now, in my opinion, what's going on here is, since Satan deceived Adam and Eve then somehow he has to be satisfied. And he's satisfied by this Azazel that's sent into the wilderness, and all the sins and trespasses of the people he carries away into the wilderness. Now again, at the same exact time they were sending this goat out, and they did it every year at Yom Kippur, at the exact same time, John the Baptist was said of Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God," or as I said, it's really the goat of God, "that taketh away the sin of the world." So it wasn't here, did two things. He identified somehow Jesus Christ with this goat that taketh away the sin of the world, and somehow that also satisfied the devil. Now, I don't know. I mean, this is a really heavy-duty thing. I mean, it was one of the singular most important things that was done by the high priest or by the priests in the temple. It was a day that was looked for and anxiously awaited. Remember, this is the same time, right, either shortly before or shortly after, I can't remember which, they did the ceremony of the Kol Nidre, in which all of the vows that have been made, consciously or unconsciously, were declared null and void as the dust of the earth. That vow, that Kol Nidre, was the most awaited, the most anticipated ceremony in the festival calendar. And the second most awaited thing, both happened at the same time, or same in the same day, was the goat that took away the sin into a sin and trespass into a lamb not inhabited. Now, just hold that for a minute, and let's go to Hebrews 10. Well, let's start in chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands. And you remember, on Yom Kippur was the only day of the year that the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies, and he alone could enter. Anyone else that entered was dead. So, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which were the figures or the types of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have offered or suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now comes what I want to talk about. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. So what is it? And I believe that is all talking about talks about the high priest entering into the Holy of Holies. That's all talking about this Azazel, this goat that took away the sin, not just of Israel, but now it's the sin of the world to them that look for him. Now, but the point of it is, you should have had no more consciousness of sin. if it's been once offered. Well, the church in the world has, that's all they do is have a consciousness of sin. Am I communicating at all? You were a Catholic. Every, as often as you felt it, you went into a confession to confess your sin. And in the Catholic Church, there's, the sin is ranked. Now what he's saying here is you should not even have had a consciousness of sin, because he once and for all took that sin away. Now the only thing we can have is trespass. Sin isn't what you do. Sin is who you are. Trespass is what you do. And the blood of Christ cleanses us from all trespass. So I'm talking about sin. Amen?
Well, you could just about go around to any denomination, any person.
Right. I know, but he asked the question, so I was picking at him. Does that communicate? So Azazel is one of the handful of times that demons are mentioned in the Old Testament. I know we've studied Azazel extensively. We should study him every year at Yom Kippur. And so you have an, you understand what I'm talking about. Gary, you look confused.
I'm missing your connection here, because I guess Azazel is the name of the goat.
No, it satisfied the goat, the Azazel. The goat satisfied Azazel.
Okay, I don't see where Azazel came out of what you have been reading. I missed the word or whatever it is, how you made that connection.
Well, the connection is, here they took away the sin of Israel for that year. And then we read where it says that's not done anymore, otherwise the high priest wouldn't, he doesn't have to enter. There's no temple. So now Christ has done it once and for all time. He satisfied everything by his, and it, remember it was a twin goat.
Right.
And the twin, one had to be slain, and one was sent into the wilderness, away from any consciousness, away from any man or woman. One was slain, and one was sent away. Okay. So Christ was slain, and then who was sent away? He was also sent away into a land not inhabited. His purpose was to take away the sin of the world. And if that once happened, you should have no more consciousness of sin. You have consciousness of trespass, that's why we confess one to another, but not sin. Because who you are, that's why the predicate of Christianity is your death. Who you are was died on the cross with him. You still got that look.
Well, it's a big picture here. It's not.
I know it's the most important picture there is.
And they, when they saw this, I could feel how incredibly joyful it was.
Right, because it took away the sin for that year.
It actually did. They felt it. It was real to them.
Right, it was physicality.
Right, and yet it came back. So they maintained this consciousness of sin.
Right.
But.
No, we maintain the consciousness.
That's the picture. Now, though, Christ having done it once for all, in him, there is no consciousness of sin.
Amen.
It's the trespass, and it's important, the distinction, because you are not who you were in him because you're dead.
Right. Now only he lives. You are the vessel.
Right. And he has no consciousness of sin.
Amen.
So if you've got that, then you're out of position.
Amen. Now that's why the predicate of Christianity, which is not taught, is your death. You died with him on the cross. That's what all of Romans 6 is about. That's what, it goes on forever.
Yeah.
He that is dead is freed from sin.
Yeah. If you ever move away from that, then you'll
Well, you resurrect the evil one.
Right.
And once you resurrect him from his deadly head wound, you are the one that resurrects him. Then you have consciousness of sin.
Right.
You have, because you have consciousness of self. That's why the whole mystery of taking no thought for your life. Take no thought what you should wear. Take no thought what you should eat. Take no thought. Take no thought. Abandon yourself. Divorce yourself. Why isn't, you know, now instead we have all the how-tos.
You know. That language there, take no thought, when you hear it incorrectly, you'll say, oh, that's what I need to do now. But it's said better, in him you will take
it. It's no, it's, remember, this book is not a Bible. It's not a book about ethics. It's not a book about science. It's not a book about morality. It's a book about life in two different dimensions. One is the time and space where you constantly have consciousness of sin. You're constantly aware of yourself. You're constantly trying to get better. The other, you see your death and you're hid with him in, on the mercy seat in eternity. Eternity isn't a long time, it's no time. And in that environment, you can't possibly have a consciousness of sin because you can't have a consciousness of self and stay on the mercy seat. That's why it says every speech should be seasoned with salt. That means also your thoughts, because that's speech. Every speech should be seasoned with salt. That means the component of eternity is in every thought, in every speech, in every word. And then it's, of course, it says, "Let if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God, or from the oracle." The oracle is the name of the place underneath the wings of the cherubim on the mercy seat. You only speak from that place. You bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
I think this is the birthplace of the bride. This is the press that we have is all coming into the understanding at this point.
Amen.
And all things flow out from there perfectly.
Amen.
Any other place is
polluted. Well, any other place you have. All tables are full of vomit. There's no place clean. Because all you do is regurgitate somebody else's words. You think you're saying something, but all you do, you've read a book, so you regurgitate. I mean, blah, blah, blah. That's all, if you read the Talmud, that's all they do, because no one says, this is what it is. They say, according to Rabbi so-and-so, this is what it is. So they're regurgitating. That's why Isaiah said, and that's why he was killed, all tables are full of vomit. There is no place clean, because everybody was regurgitating each other's words. Is the mercy seat. That's why there we must live in that eternal now, taking no thought. Otherwise, we may be subject to this world of demonology, which we're, that's, remember, the basic word we're studying is in Isaiah 27, I mean, not Isaiah, Luke 8, verse 27. And when they went forth to land, they met him a man out of the city, which had devils a long time. And the word devils there is incorrect. It should be, it's daimonion, which means a demon. Devils a long time and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. So we're studying. This is the first time we really entered in the study of Luke that we've talked about demons or daimonion. And I'm going through all the places where there's six or eight places in the Old Testament where that is mentioned. And Azazel, as a demon, is considered to be a demon, is the first one. But the key is because he was once offered for all time, those then should have had, those that look for him or look at him should have had no more consciousness of sin. Because they have no more consciousness of self. And this is really a predicate. This is why it's done every year.
When I hear demons, in my personal study, the healing spirit, which is pretty much, I think, how you defined it the other day, the same type of thing. It's a ruling spirit. And it just occurred to me that in these offerings that we make, those are demonic offerings to the God of this world.
Right. Any offering you make.
Expiate our consciousness of sin.
Right.
We're not even in position.
Right.
But we think we're doing a holy thing.
Right, right, right. Yes. Because you're still in time and space. Now remember, I believe, and I teach, that there is another world, there's a spirit world, and I have no doubt there is, because I've seen it in weird places that I traveled. I mean, mind-bending stuff. And that world happened when in the age of Lucifer. That's the pre-Adamic kingdom. And it had to take place in the long term in order that we, and first Christ, he had to be tested in all of time and space and all of space without regard to time. The age of Lucifer ate both of the tree of knowledge and of the tree of good and evil. And instantly they were spiritualized and they were locked in time without regard to space. That's what we call demons. They're not ruling anything. They're just doing the will of God. But the will of God is to test, to make sure nothing can pull you off the mercy seat. If anything can pull you off the mercy seat. That's why we talked about idolatry. Idolatry is connected to demons. That's why, again, we read yesterday, above all things, my brethren, flee idolatry.
So the purpose of a demon is?
To try to get you, well, the whole purpose of that world is to try, just as this world, it's to try to make the bride acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption, to the nearer kinsman. The nearer kinsman to the human race is the God of this world. And all of the success theology, all of the you are champions crap, all of that theology is trying to make the church, quote unquote, acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption. That's what the book of Ruth is about, that we read every Pentecost. Now, that's why Jesus said, the God of this world is coming, and he has no interest in me any longer. Why? He has no interest because he saw him at birth and saw the mewing little baby that crapped in his pants and had to have his diaper changed, helpless. Satan said, I can't worship that. And he went forward in time and saw him on the cross, bleeding, weak, helpless. He said, I can't worship that. And that's why he fell. And he took with him a whole bunch. And he fell into time and space. That was the age of Lucifer, the pre-Adamic age, the age before Adam and Eve. And that age was billions of years old. Nice to show up 5 minutes before Bible study's over. Nice discipline again. Would I pick on anybody?
I appreciate you picking on them. You're exhorting.
Anyway.
I am picked on, therefore I am.
Do you understand this grand simplicity? There's no in between. You're either a vessel of wrath, a vessel of mercy. You're either part of the bride or part of the whore. There's no in between. There's no neutral ground. You're either living in eternity, and that is your home, that is your place of birth. That's why born again is a terrible translation. Born, the word is, I can't remember it, but it means born from above. In another translation is, you must exist from the first estate, because his life is your life. Now, that happened on Pentecost. He was shed on all flesh. Do you think he left evangelism to idiots like us?
If he did, it's not working.
No, because any man in any place, if he comes to the end of himself, there is Christ. And even those that don't even get it. Let's go to 1 Peter real quick. How come I always go to 2 Peter? Chapter 4. Verse 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also, or was, is, and will be. I mean, he's always the same, you understand? Is the gospel preached to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit? He handles his own evangelism. Amen? All right. Anybody else have anybody have any questions? Anybody want, I want somebody to argue with me. Barry? No, I don't want to. I hate arguments. But the custom here is the first time somebody comes to Bible study,
you get one free pass.
You get a free pass to say anything you want without me correcting anything. Sometime. Shut up.
Maybe.
We didn't say anything.
You got anything? Any response to any of this?
Test it out here.
Barry, I send you to speak.
That's what strikes me up. The first time I read my Bible, he said, "That's the Jim Crouch version."
Oh yeah, yeah. The King James is by far the most accurate. All right, take it, big guy.